Welcome to episode 508 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. I'm going to make an executive decision today. I've given it some thought, and I hope you're okay with it. I'd like to finish our reading of the entire Bible by the end of the year. And in order to do that comfortably, we're going to read the Old Testament on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and the New Testament on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you've been listening for a while, you know that we completed the New Testament last November, so the New Testament readings are complete. The commentary I've been doing on the New Testament since restarting in November are new, but the readings are repeats, so I'm not sure it makes sense to stay with a one-to-one reading schedule. Obviously, the Old Testament is much longer than the New Testament, so completing the Old Testament just takes much more time. So let's go ahead and try out the Monday, Wednesday, Friday Old Testament schedule, shall we? I do want to keep the show length to the 10 to 15 minutes that seems to work, and this will help us to do that. If you hate this idea, let me know. Send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Otherwise, I'll just assume that it's all good with you, okay? Today we'll read Isaiah 61 through 64 from the Good News Translation. Let's begin. Isaiah chapter 61. The Sovereign Lord has filled me with His Spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to captives and freedom to those in prison. He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save His people and defeat their enemies. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to give those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, a song of praise instead of sorrow. They will be like trees that the Lord Himself has planted. They will all do what is right, and God will be praised for what He has done. They will rebuild cities that have long been in ruins. My people, foreigners, will serve you. They will take care of your flocks and farm your land and tend your vineyards. And you will be known as the priests of the Lord, the servants of our God. You will enjoy the wealth of the nations and be proud that it is yours. Your shame and disgrace are ended. You will live in your own land, and your wealth will be doubled. Your joy will last forever. The Lord says, I love justice and I hate oppression and crime. I will faithfully reward my people and make an eternal covenant with them. They will be famous among the nations. Everyone who sees them will know that they are a people whom I have blessed. Jerusalem rejoices because of what the Lord has done. She is like a bride dressed for her wedding. God has clothed her with salvation and victory. As surely as seeds sprout and grow, the Sovereign Lord will save His people, and all the nations will praise Him. Isaiah chapter 62. I will speak out to encourage Jerusalem. I will not be silent until she is saved and her victory shines like a torch in the night. Jerusalem, the nations will see you victorious. All their kings will see your glory. You will be called by a new name, a name given by the Lord Himself. You will be like a beautiful crown for the Lord. No longer will you be called forsaken, or your land be called the deserted wife. Your new name will be God is pleased with her. Your land will be called happily married, because the Lord is pleased with you and will be like a husband to your land. Like a young man taking a virgin as his bride, he who formed you will marry you. As a groom is delighted with his bride, so your God will delight in you. On your walls, Jerusalem, I have placed sentries. They must never be silent day or night. They must remind the Lord of His promises and never let Him forget them. They must give Him no rest until He restores Jerusalem and makes it a city the whole world praises. The Lord has made a solemn promise, and by His power He will carry it out. Your grain will no longer be food for your enemies, and foreigners will no longer drink your wine. But you that planted and harvested the grain will eat the bread and praise the Lord. You that tended and gathered the grapes will drink the wine in the courts of my temple. People of Jerusalem, go out of the city and build a road for your returning people. Prepare a highway, clear it of stones. Put up a signal so that the nations can know that the Lord is announcing to all the earth, tell the people of Jerusalem that the Lord is coming to save you, bringing with Him the people He has rescued. You will be called God's holy people, the people the Lord has saved. Jerusalem will be called the city that God loves, the city that God did not forsake. Isaiah chapter 63. Who is this coming from the city of Bozrah in Edom? Who is this so splendidly dressed in red, marching along in power and strength? It is the Lord, powerful to save, coming to announce his victory. Why is his clothing so red, like that of someone who tramples grapes to make wine? The Lord answers, I have trampled the nations like grapes. No one came along to help me. I trampled them in my anger, and their blood has stained all my clothing. I decided that the time to save my people had come. It was time to punish their enemies. I was amazed when I looked and saw there was no one to help me. But my anger made me strong, and I won the victory myself. In my anger, I trampled whole nations and shattered them. I poured out their lifeblood on the ground. I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise him for all he has done for us. He has richly blessed the people of Israel because of his mercy and constant love. The Lord said, They are my people, they will not deceive me. And so he saved them from all their suffering. It was not an angel, but the Lord himself who saved them. In his love and compassion he rescued them. He had always taken care of them in the past, but they rebelled against him and made his Holy Spirit sad. So the Lord became their enemy and fought against them. But then they remembered the past, the days of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and they asked, Where now is the Lord, who saved the leaders of his people from the sea? Where is the Lord who gave his spirit to Moses? Where is the Lord who by his power did great things through Moses, dividing the waters of the sea and leading his people through the deep water to win everlasting fame for himself? Led by the Lord, they were as sure-footed as wild horses and never stumbled. As cattle are led into a fertile valley, so the Lord gave his people rest. He led his people and brought honor to his name. Lord, look upon us from heaven where you live in your holiness and glory. Where is your great concern for us? Where is your power? Where are your love and compassion? Do not ignore us. You are our father. Our ancestors Abraham and Jacob do not acknowledge us, but you, Lord, are our father, the one who has always rescued us. Why do you let us stray from your ways? Why do you make us so stubborn that we turn away from you? Come back for the sake of those who serve you, for the sake of the people who have always been yours. We, your holy people, were driven out by our enemies for a little while. They trampled down your sanctuary. You treat us as though you had never been our ruler, as though we had never been your people. Isaiah chapter 64. Why don't you tear the sky open and come down? The mountains would see you and shake with fear. They would tremble like boiling water over a hot fire. Come and reveal your power to your enemies and make the nations tremble at your presence. There was a time when you came and did terrifying things that we did not expect. The mountains saw you and shook with fear. No one has ever seen or heard of a God like you, who does such deeds for those who put their hope in him. You welcome those who find joy in doing what is right, those who remember how you want them to live. You were angry with us, but we went on sinning. In spite of your great anger, we have continued to do wrong since ancient times. All of us have been sinful. Even our best actions are filthy through and through. Because of our sins, we are like leaves that wither and are blown away by the wind. No one turns to you in prayer. No one goes to you for help. You have hidden yourself from us and have abandoned us because of our sins. But you are our Father, Lord. We are like clay, and you are like the potter. You created us, so do not be too angry with us or hold our sins against us forever. We are your people. Be merciful to us. Your sacred cities are like a desert. Jerusalem is a deserted ruin, and our temple, the sacred and beautiful place where our ancestors praised you, has been destroyed by fire. All the places we loved are in ruins. Lord, are you unmoved by all this? Are you going to do nothing and make us suffer more than we can endure? May God richly bless the reading of his word. Hey, do you agree with me that our world is in bad shape? Seems like things are bad and getting worse. I couldn't help but think of our present condition when I was reading chapter 64. The prophet Isaiah in verses 1 and 2 said, Why don't you tear the sky open and come down? The mountains would see you and shake with fear. They would tremble like water boiling over a hot fire. Come and reveal your power to your enemies and make the nations tremble at your presence. Well, wouldn't that be an awesome thing? I think so. If the world could see what God is like, perhaps they would begin to honor Him and He could begin a healing of the things that are so wrong around the globe. Because, let's face it, most of the world denies Him and does whatever seems right to them. And those of us who love Him, if we're honest, would have to agree with Isaiah when he said in verse 6, "All of us have been sinful. Even our best actions are filthy through and through." Come on, let's be honest. We fail God every day. All of us do. So what is the answer? Look at the beginning of verse 7. Isaiah says, "No one turns to you in prayer. No one goes to you for help. You have hidden yourself from us and have abandoned us because of our sins." Friends, we don't pray. Oh, sure, we say grace over meals. We say cursory prayers now and then when we're sick or in trouble or in need of something, but do we really take hold of God on a regular basis and really talk to Him as if He were a real and powerful and involved person? Do we make it a daily priority? Do we talk to Him, expecting to honestly touch Him and to hear from Him in response to us? If God is far from us, who moved? If God doesn't hear us, is that His fault or ours? If we truly want Him to heal our land, why would we think that anything less than a total devotion to prayer would bring that about? We as a people need to return to Him with contrite hearts and a commitment to seeking His face. We need to hold on to Him as if our lives and our nation and our world depends on it, because it's true. We will not see change unless we fully devote ourselves to this critical mission. We need to cry out to Him and ask Him to change us into the people He wants us to be. Like Isaiah prayed in verses 8 and 9, we say, "But You are our Father, Lord. We are like clay and You are like the potter. You created us, so do not be too angry with us and hold our sins against us forever. We are Your people. Be merciful to us." Let me hear from you. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to my friendly editor for his support of the show. I invite you to stop by support.lifespringmedia to see how you can be a part of the support team. Let me know how you feel about doing the Old Testament on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and the New Testament on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.